Let's have a word of prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we just pray and thank Thee for Your guidance and direction. Thank You for Jesus, for the plan of redemption, that one day soon we may be with Him to spend eternity, ever living the life that You have prepared for each and every one of us. We just pray, Father, that we all be there with all the temptations, all the obstacles that are thrown in our way. We know that there is a way through them, around them, over them, or under them, as long as we use the power of heaven to be able to get around these obstacles. The temptation that Satan throws at us, we do not have to accept. We draw from the power of heaven. We draw from the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. We draw from the strength of the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And we just pray that we will be able to accept that, and that we'll be truly Your children forever and ever. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Mentioned it a little bit in Sabbath school this morning about Saul and David, Israel wanting a king. And we knew that, and it talks about it in 1 Samuel chapter 8, and that's where my talk is coming from today, from chapter 8 of 1 Samuel. We know that we all need to make Christ our Lord and King and try to avoid the mistakes of Israel. But we look back there and see all these mistakes of Israel, but we know that we've made so many of them ourselves, maybe in different ways today, but we've made them all there. We look at the past, and we see all the repeated mistakes that God's people had made for centuries. And as we look at 1 Samuel 8, especially verses 1 through 9 this morning, we see the nation of Israel making some fatal mistakes that we can learn much from. And just to look at some examples that I have without looking at the Bible, and consider what would happen if we only settle for 99% accuracy. We would have no phone service for 15 minutes a day. And if we had the other things with that, all the electronics we have, everybody would be devastated today, wouldn't they? At least 1.7 million pieces of first-class mail would not be given out, would be lost each day. 35,000 newborn babies would be dropped by doctors or nurses every year. 200,000 people would get the wrong prescription medicine each year. Some in the world would have unsafe drinking for 3 days a week. And the sad part about that is that there are so many people in the world that have unsafe drinking conditions. I just saw last week about Madagascar, all the people over there and the children having to drink from the river, the water there, where even the animals go into it. And everything, it's sickening to have that. And there are people that are trying to dig wells for that and get money to dig wells for that. And I just praise God for that, you know, to do that. But there are some mistakes that are unbelievable. Take the case of the bank robber in Los Angeles who told the clerk not to give him cash, but to put the money in his bank account. Two teenagers who burst into an establishment ran to the counter and demanded that the clerk put all the money in a bag, to the astonishment of a librarian. He only collected about a dollar in fines that day, ran out and called the police. And it seems that they got confused because the bank and the library looked about the same and they were only a block apart. So the police caught them and they were booked. And these are mistakes that's actually happened. You know, and then we can see the mistakes in the Bible, and we talk about this morning. We see that Israel made, and we see that in 1 Samuel here. And so we'll look at that 1 Samuel and read some of the verses there. 1 Samuel 8, 1 through 7. But I won't probably read them all. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abel, and they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his way, but turned aside after lucre, to took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel under Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. You see that it displeased Samuel. He went to prayer and took it to God, and God gave him an answer to that, what to do about it. You know, we just, you know, see that just like Eli's sons, Samuel's sons, took bribes. They were not the priests that they should have been, you know. But Samuel was not condemned for that, for the reason that maybe he didn't know that was going on, their actions, or he knew about it and he tried to turn them away from it and prevent it from continuing to happen. But we don't know for sure what it was. But if we look in the chapter 7 before there, we see that nearly 30 years had passed since God had given Israel the victory of spoken of there in 1 Samuel 7. But Israel, like many people, forgot about the Ebenezer, and that's the stone of help that they had dedicated. And once again, they experienced spiritual decay. And we know when there is spiritual decay, the church becomes more like the world. We pray that that's not happening in our church today, but it is happening in all the churches, and even, sad to say, in our church. Using the world's methods and resources to try to do the work of God, and we know that that can never work. We have to use God's resources, and he gives it to in his word, all the resources that we need to be able to do the work that he wants us to do, not our own work. So God gave what the Israels desired in their hearts, but though it wasn't his will, he did not desire for them to have a king. He wanted him to be their king. And what is in our hearts today? What is our desire that we are seeking each and every day? Samuel looks like he rejected, took that, interpreted, and took it as a rejection of his leadership. But God saw it differently. He knew that it was rejection of his leadership. You know. So he did what he did to do. He went to God in prayer, laid out his cares before God, and shared his heartaches with him. And that's what we need to do ourselves today, to take all of our cares to God. All of our mistakes, all of our failures, all of our problems to the one who cares. And we know truly that God is the only one that cares. There's so many ways out there that people have problems and everything, and they go to psychiatrists and all this kind of help, and they take all kinds of pills for it and everything. We know that that will not work in the end. So we need to look at Israel's fatal mistakes that they made. Now, Ellen White says that the government of Israel was administered in the name of the authority of God. And I pray that our church is that way today, in the authority of God and only God. The work of Moses, the 70 elders, the rulers and the judges, was simply to enforce the law of God. They did not have the authority to legislate for the nation. That was God's job. And we see that the condition of Israel's existence as a nation from age to age was men inspired by God was sent to instruct the people and to direct the enforcement of the law of God. Today, man tries to enforce laws, especially when it concerns our lives, concerns our destinies, and we know that they are going to fail. We have to depend upon God. There's no other way. And we do that through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is there for us. He has given us the Holy Spirit as our comforter, to guide us so that we don't make the same mistakes. But God foresaw that Israel wanted a king, but he didn't consent to the change that was coming there. And the principle of how Israel was founded, it was founded because of God. He picked them out as a peculiar people, and wanted to make them his people, to give the message to the world and bring the other nations into Israel to be under the domination of God. You know, the king was to be God's assistant, just as we are God's assistant here on this earth, representatives of God in everything that we do to give the gospel message. You know, God was recognized as the head of the nation. We know that our nation, the head of the nation right now is President Obama. But he's there only because God has allowed it. God sets up kingdoms, he takes them down, he sets up governments, he chains them down. He's put President Obama in there for a reason. And we will continue to see that as the time of the end draws near, you know. And it was just, and his law was to be enforced by the supreme law of God in all the land. And you find that in Patriarchs and Prophets, page 603. And as we read there in verse 5, as it said there, that Israel wanted to be like the nations around them. They wanted a man and not God to lead them into battle. And we read throughout the Old Testament what happened when they did not allow God to lead them into battle. They lost every time. But when God led them, they had victory every time. You know. He called them to be a chosen people, to be his witnesses. And that's what his church is for today, to be his witness. He's called us to be a chosen people. But instead, they looked and acted like the world. In many cases, I think our church does also. Plus, the Israelites, as we read in verse 8, wanted to worship the gods of the other nations. Why they wanted to do that, I can't really know. Because they know that they were false gods. But God's people are to be sanctified or set apart. And sometimes I feel the way that I act, I don't feel like that I'm sanctified or set apart. But I know that I have to take that to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ for my answers that I need. You know, we look at the world and we want to be conformed to it. We know that we can't. We cannot be conformed to the world if we are going to be God's children, if we're going to be his chosen people. God never let the Israelites down. He'll never let us down. But they rejected him. And I pray that we don't reject him there. And we read verses 7 and 8, the rejection that they gave to him. God wants us to make him king. He wants to have no other king before him but him. We know that to be a Christian is not a democracy. God is looking for a people that will follow his leadership. Not man's leadership, but his leadership. And if you will turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 13. 2 Timothy 2, verse 13. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. And he can't, does not deny himself. Even if we're faithful, faithless, he's going to be faithful. He cannot disown himself. There's no way that he can do that. We can be certain that God is always trustworthy. He will never let us down. His trust is a surety. That's his very nature, that he cannot fail to fulfill his promises. And we must have trust in that. All of God's promises will be fulfilled. And yes, there are some promises that he gave that were conditional. But he still was true to all of his promises that he gave to his people of old and all the promises that he gives to us today. And so we can be trusting him. But like many of us today, the Israelites were not willing to wait on God. They had to have everything right away. God was grooming David to be king. But he allowed Israel to have Saul because they wanted a man. So while they had Saul, God was preparing David. We saw in this, our lesson this morning, the experiences of David before he became king and how he was able to trust in God and rely on him, even though all of the sins that he committed himself. His experience with Jesus Christ was the key. And I pray that that's our key today, our experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we're sinners. We're going to make mistakes. But I pray that each time that we go to God in confession and in repentance, that that sin that we're talking about will no longer be in our life. We will get it out so that we can go on to the next sin and work on that and get rid of that in our lives instead of going back to the old sin that we had just repented of. But yet, many times, these old sins continue to creep in and we allow them to affect our life and our experience with God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was willing to allow them to have Saul. Not willing, but he allowed it to happen. And we know that sometimes the worst can happen to us because we're going to get what we ask for. I know that that's happened in my life many times. What I wanted, I got, and I'm sorry for it. We can read the tragic results of that from the desire of Israel to have a man king. We can read that in Patriarchs and Prophets, page 663. I don't know how many times it's told that we're not supposed to mention Spirit of Prophecy or Ellen White or read from the, but I take exception to that and I use it in my sermons that I have. And from page 663 of Patriarchs and Prophets. As the people contrasted the course of Saul with that of Samuel, they saw what a mistake they had made in desiring a king, that they might not be different from the other nations around them. Many looked with alarm at the condition of society, fast becoming leavened with the irreligion and godlessness. The example of their ruler was exerting a widespread influence, and well might Israel mourn that Samuel, the prophet of God, was dead. The nation had lost the founder and president of its sacred schools, but that was not all. It had lost him to whom the people had been accustomed to go with their great troubles, lost one who had constantly interceded with God in behalf of the best interests of its people. The intercession of Samuel had given a feeling of security, for the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5:16. The people felt now that God was forsaking them. The king seemed little less than a madman. Justice was perverted, and order was turned to confusion. And it was. And it continued down through the ages, too, with Israel and all the problems that they had from wanting to have a man king, wanting to do away with the authority of God in their lives, wanting man to control them. And if you continue reading in 1 Samuel 8 there, you read all the things that were going to happen to them. I'm not going to read them today, but all the things that was there that was going to happen. Just a couple. This will be matter of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over 50, and will set them to ear his ground, and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. 15. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. He will take the tenth of your sheep and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king which ye shall have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Do not have the Lord hear us. We know that we don't want that to happen. So we need to take and look at these mistakes of Israel and make sure that they don't happen to us by putting gods before God, putting our idols before God. But we know that idols can do nothing for us. But Israel failed to have the promises that God had prepared for them. He wanted to lead them himself, but they rejected him. And I just pray this morning that we don't reject the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to lead us. He's our King. He's our Lord. He's our elder brother. He just wants the best for us. And one day soon, we're going to be with him to see him face to face. The glory that we're going to have, the joyous occasion that we're going to have to be able to be with Jesus, to sit at his feet and hear the words come from his very lips. I'm looking forward to that, and I pray that each one of us are doing that also. You know, and we see in Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6, that God said he wanted the Israelites to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And if you would look at Deuteronomy 14:2. Deuteronomy 14:2. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. Here he does. He affirms them as a holy people, a treasured possession. And we are his treasure if we have the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son that came here to this earth, shed his blood, made a covenant with us that will be kept through eternity. And then if you would also look at Deuteronomy 26:19. And that was our scripture reading for today. And to make thee high above all nations, which he hath made in praise and in name and in honor, and that thou mayest be a holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken. We see that the Israelites experienced a harsh monarchy that led them farther and farther away from God. And if we accept the condition of man today, it's going to lead us farther and farther away from God, and we know that we don't want that to happen to us. Let us not fail like Israel did. And it's still true to get today. God wants to be our King. He wants to lead us. He wants to show us the way to the eternal kingdom. And he does that through the Lord Jesus Christ. So I just pray, is the Lord your King today? Yes, our Savior God, how great thou art, that thou art the Creator God, Creator of heaven and earth, Creator of man, and that you want to be our King. We pray that we accept that. We accept your lordship into our lives, and we truly pray that we are your representatives here on earth to give the gospel message that the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is coming soon for his people, and that we will be able to go home with him to spend eternity ever learning the plan of redemption, never running out of the source to learn, to be able to sit at the feet of Jesus, to be able to come to the throne of God each Sabbath, to learn more and more. We just pray that through the centuries and through the ages, that we will be drawn closer and closer to you, closer and closer to the image, to grow in stature, to truly be yours for eternity. That is my prayer this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen.